أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. وامتازوا اليوم أيها المجرمون، ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. Okay, after the verses talked about the situation of Ashab al-Jannah, the people of paradise, now it turns into the more difficult situation, a situation which is even hard to talk about, and that is when the Mujrimun is going to get separated completely from the Mu'minun. Imtazu means get separated, get aside from imtiaz, imtaza, imtiazan, or tamayyaza. They get separated, they get aside from the Mu'minun. Now, about this verse and when this is actually mentioned to Kafirun, there are some different opinions. First of all, when this address comes, that to the Mujrimun, that you should get separated from the Mu'minun, from the believers, it means that up to one point they are still going together. The Mu'minun and Kafirun are still going together. Certainly this is not said to them immediately after death. It is sometimes in the long period of the day of resurrection that they are told you should get separated completely from Mu'minun. Now, is it to get separated from Mu'minun or to get separated one from each other? As I said, there are differences of opinion. Now, one opinion is, well, the mainstream opinion saying that on one day the Mu'minun would get separated from Kafirun completely. Now in this world we are all together. When we die again, we are all together. When we are resurrected again, we are all together. And when we proceed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again we are all together. At one point, at one juncture of time, on the day of resurrection, this address comes, that you should now get separated completely from each other. Now, this is the mainstream opinion. Some other opinions from some Tabi'i exegetes, like Al-Dhahhak, for example, says that this is an address to the kuffar themselves, that you should get separated from each other as well. For example, every group of mujrimun, every group of disbelievers or criminals would get to a certain place. For example, the Yahud would go to a certain place, the Nasara would go to a certain place. This is how they get separated from each other. Or even more separation there will be. That is, every kafir will separate from all others, and they will be locked in a cell alone, in a solitary cell, so to speak. And then until eternity, they would not see anyone, and no one would see them. They go in a solitary cell, they would get locked in. And this is the meaning of get separated from each other. Of course, this does not go with other verses of the Quran, that in Jahannam people would see each other, would talk to each other, would curse each other. So I think that mainstream opinion, which comes in many, many other places of the Qur'an. The Qur'an speaks of Yawm al-Qiyamah as being Yawm al-Fasl, the day of separation. The day when people get separated from each other. And therefore, this would go with those verses very smoothly if we take it as the mainstream, take it to have the mainstream meaning, that is the Mu'minun and Kafirun would separate from each other. Now, there are verses in the Qur'an indicating that Allah, although you would see Mu'minun and Kafirun living the same life in this world, but Allah would not let it go until ever. They will one day get their dues, get whatever they deserve. In Surah Sa'd, verse number 28. It is said, أَنَّجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْعَمْرِ. Are we going to put those who believe and do good deeds to be like al-mufsiduna fil ard, those who do mischief on this earth? Am naj'alul muttaqina kal fujjar, or are we going to put the muttaqin to be similar to fujjar, to be similar to the criminals? Certainly we are not going to do that forever. In this world you would see them, they live the same life, but in the other world you are not going to see that anymore. Or in Surah Jasiya, there is a very, very interesting verse which takes us into a different area as well. Surah Jasiya, verse number 21. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Are we going, are those who commit evil acts, اشْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ, Do they think that we will put them in an equal level as those who believe and do good deeds? Their lives in this world and their death would be similar. It is not going to be so. This is a very, very evil judgment that they are going to do. Now, in this verse, the interesting thing in this verse of Surah Jasiya is that we are not going to make them equal, neither in this world nor in the other world. Neither in mahyahum, living while they are living in this world, nor while they die and they go to barzakh. Now, this verse tells us that they are separated not only on the day of judgment, yawmul qas, but they are separated in this world from each other, and they are separated when they die, they are separated when they go to barzakh, they are separated when they go to day of resurrection. So there is a type of animal here, because this verse tells us that it is only at one juncture of time on the day of resurrection that they get separated from each other. But here it says we have separated them completely in this world and in the other world. Now, this actually refers to different degrees of mu'minun. We have some mu'minun who are completely separate from kafirun even in this world. They do not experience things that the kafirun experience, and vice versa. Those people with very, very high faith, those people who have been given al-hayatu tayyibah. Now, in Surah Nahl, towards the end of Surah Nahl, there is a very famous verse which many, many mystics actually mention this verse as what they want to acquire in this world. Is a meaning alluding to what I mentioned, and that is man amila salihan, whoever does good, min dhakaran aw unsa, whether female or male, فَلَنُحَيَنَّهُمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We will give them, we will make them to become alive in this world of a pure life. We will give them a pure life, a life which is not mixed, which is not which does not have any impurity in it. A life which is real life, which has light in it, which has guidance in it. So there are some people who even in this world have that haya, al-hayatu tayyibah. And this is a meaning which sometimes many, many riwayat allude to as this is a life which is the life of qana'ah. Now I will discuss about this a little bit later. But what we have to understand here is that it is possible for mu'minun and kafirun to get separated in this world as well. What does it mean? It means that the mu'minun, when they get that hayatul tayyibah in this world, they are no more experiencing the difficulties which kafirun experience, which unbelievers experience, or which mu'minun with little faith would experience. They are completely alive to a different life. They have a pure life which is not mixed with any other with any ignorance which would make life to have a low quality, because life actually is knowledge. The attribute of knowledge is one of the most important qualities of life. And if the knowledge is low, the quality of life is low. If the knowledge is high, the quality of life is high. And therefore, for these people, the quality of life is very high. They are not like kuffar. Amirul Mu'mineen was asked, what is this Hayatul Tayyibah, which is mentioned in this verse? What Allah gives them as a pure life, Hayatul Tayyibah, a clean life, a Tayyib life? He said, this is Qana'ah, contentment that Allah gives to them. Now, well, contentment or Qana'ah, we know it's a very good thing, but not this important, which would completely separate a mu'min from a kafir. But if we think about it a bit further, we would see that qana'ah is not only a quality which gives contentment to someone. It indicates some deep knowledge of this world, about this world. Usually we people are misled, are deceived by the deceptions of this world, the ghurur. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ This world is something by which you are usually deceived. You are deceived by always thinking about very, very trivial things, about the quality of your life in this world, about what you have, what you do not have, what your children are going to get, what they are not going to get, what are the political situation, how I can be better at work, and all these things. If you get that pure life, these things would become very, very secondary to you. You will get something which makes all these things really, really unimportant. What is important is your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you are going to move towards Him, and how you are going to make use of this life that Allah has given you. So you are completely different from other people. Other people, even mu'minun, I don't mean only kuffar, even mu'minun live the same life. We are all deceived by the deceptions of this world. We are all deceived by very, very trivial issues. We get angry about them, we get happy about them. But when people get that contentment, qana'ah, that whatever they have is sufficient. We just want to move for a while. We just want to move forward. Now, if we have the means for it, that's good. I mean, whatever that means is. But they don't get angry about it. They don't get very happy. They are not carried away about whatever they have, or upset about whatever they don't have. So they are really in a different situation. They get up every morning. يُصْبِحُ وَحَمُّهُ الذِّكْرِ When they get up every morning, their utmost intention and resolve is how they have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they move, how they have to move towards Him. وَيُمْسِي وَحَمُّهُ الشُّكْرِ And when night comes, their utmost resolve and intention and decision is how they can give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is certainly a different type of life from what we have. So they are completely separated from kuffar in this world. And when they die, of course, they are completely separated from kuffar again. Now, we don't have that quality of life. We have a poor quality of iman, certainly. Most of us, I don't say all of us. Most of us have that poor quality of iman, which somehow makes us similar with kuffar. I mean, what is the difference between a Muslim and a kafir? I mean, okay, our ladies wear hijab, they don't wear hijab, we do our salat absent-mindedly, they don't do their salat. There's not much difference, really. We all care about the same things. We all talk, our values are the same, usually, isn't it? We talk of the same values. And that's why we could get with each other, get along with each other very well. So, there's not much difference here. There's not much separation. And therefore, when we die again, there is not much separation. When we go to the resurrection, there is not much separation. We are all together. It is only, now, how do we get separated in this world from each other? Sometimes Allah wants to really distinguish between mu'min and kafir, make a distinction. And then tribulations come. When a tribulation comes, a true mu'min could be distinguished, could be realized from a mu'min which has not a real belief, not a true belief, not a strong belief. So we are sometimes separated in this world by these procedures of ibtila'at, testings and all these things. And if we are separate here, if our heart is separate here from heart of the kuffar, through those tribulations, we will get separated in the other world as well. The better we are separated and distinguished in this world, the sooner we get separated and distinguished in the other world. But for some of us, this mixing, this accompanying each other would go until we are on the verge of whether going to hell or not going to hell. Until when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell all of us, whether mu'min or kafir, go to hell now, and then at that point, a very, very great tribulation would come and would separate mu'min from kafir. And this is that last moment when Allah says, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمِ, get separate now, أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Now, we have a hadith in this respect from Tafsir al-Qummi. It says, إِذَا جَمَعَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بَقَوْ قِيَامًا عَلَىٰ أَقْدَامِهِمْ. When Allah gathers people on the Day of Judgment, they stand on their feet for a long, long time. حَتَّى يُلْجَمُهُمُ الْعَرَقِ, until the sweat flows from all their body. And it is so difficult a situation, so hard a situation. We don't know how many years would pass for them like this. فَيُنَادَوْنَ يَا رَبِّ حَاسِبْنَا وَلَوْ أَلَنَا. And they say, oh God, take us to account. If you want to send us to hell, send us to hell. Why are you keeping us here in this situation? It's so difficult a situation. And we have many, many other ahadiths like this, that there are times on the Day of Resurrection that people wish that they are somehow decided about, even if they are decided about to go to hell. So this is the difficult situation. قَالَ فَيَبْعَثُ اللَّهُ رِيَاحًا. Then some winds come. فَتَضْرِبُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And this is a very, very dark wind which separates between different people there. And وَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ. Someone would call فَوَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمِ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Now the criminals would go to hell. فَيُمَيَّزْ بَيْنَهُمْ فَسَارَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ فِي النَّارِ. And the mujrimun would become distinguished, separated, and they would go to hell. وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ إِيمَانٌ. And whoever there is a speck of faith in their heart, سَارَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, they would go to paradise. Okay? Now, as I said, it is tribulations which separate between mu'min and kafir in this world. True mu'min and hypocrite and kafir. Now, it is still tribulations which separate between mu'min and kafir in that world. You see, there is this very, very hard situation in which they think that they cannot continue like this. Hell would be better for them than this situation. And this tribulation brings out that real faith, that small speck of faith which still sticks to the heart of the mu'min, and then that would save them. The mujrimun, those who didn't have any faith at all, they would get separated from kafirun and they would go to hell. And this is why Allah says the separation day is a very, very difficult day. It's not just Allah would tell who is mu'min, who is kafir. It's all systematic. I mean, you see this world. Everything is systematic. Everything goes according to a nature, to a natural disposition. In the other world, it would be the same. It's not just Allah wouldn't change the rules. Of course, the rules would change, but they would move towards more complication rather than simplification. There are more complicated rules for people to how Allah would distinguish between them, how they would get separated from each other, how they go to hell, how they go to paradise. And this is the meaning of, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Mursalat, when Allah talks about Yawmul Fas, the day of separation, when that separation comes, when that this imtiyaz, which Allah says, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُشْرُونَ, gets separated today. Now it says, of course, there are some verses at the beginning of the surah, and then it says, وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ, when the rusul, the messengers come for their appointed time, because they are appointed to go, to witness, to bear witness. So, وَإِذَا الرُّسُلُ أُقِّتَتْ, when the messengers come for their appointed times, لَأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجَّلَتْ, when, for what day this is being delayed all the time. It's this type of separation is being delayed and delayed and delayed. Okay? Now, it's delayed in this world, it's delayed in Barzakh, it's delayed on the day of resurrection. Now, it says, لَأَيِّ يَوْمٍ أُجَّلَتْ, for what day this is being delayed? لِيَوْمِ الْفَصْلِ, for the day of separation. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الْفَصْلِ, how can I explain for you what is that day of separation? It is a very, very difficult day. It is a very hard time of the whole world of human beings. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe on that day for those who deny. So, this is, of course, the last moment, the last point of hope for those who keep some faith in their hearts. And these are the people who go to the lower levels of paradise. Of course, they go to paradise, and if they go to paradise, that's good. They have succeeded. But after all these long tribulations, I mean, we cannot bear even 1 year of tribulation in this world. We have to think about those long years of tribulation on the day of judgment before, if our faith is not completely pure, if it is not if it is adulterated with other things like hypocrisy, like kufr, we have to be really thinking about those days, what we are going to experience. And of course, as I said, there are some people who are separate right in this world, in the Sifa of Muttaqin, in the qualities of Muttaqin. Amirul Mu'mineen says about them, إِنْ كَانَ فِي الْغَافِلِينَ, although they are among the ignorant in this world, but really they are not. فَكُتِبَ فِي الظَّاكِرِينَ, they are written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those who remember and know, in those who are reminded. إِنْ كَانَ فِي الْغَافِلِينَ كُتِبَ فِي الظَّاكِرِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الظَّاكِرِينَ لَمْ يُكْتَبْ فِي الْكَافِرِينَ, and if they are among the ظَاكِرِينَ, among the believers, they are not going to be written as ignorance. Now, what does this mean? All of us live in the community of believers, but many of us are written among the ignorant ones, because our iman is not that strong. Our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not of that quality to be written of Zakareen. So, even though we are among the Zakareen, we are among those who believe, we are among the believers, but many of us are written among the ignorant ones, are written among those who do not have faith. Not that, of course, we are going to be treated the same, but we are going to go the same course until the very last moment, when, of course, that big separation comes, and that separation comes with lots and lots of hardship, difficulties, and tribulations. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions things which comes after that separation. Okay, we have to distinguish between these different stages of Yawmul Qiyamah. Sometimes many things are mentioned in Yawmul Qiyamah, you will think that they are contradictory with each other. Because for example, Allah says, فَيَوْمَ إِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. On that day, no one is going to be asked, no jinn and no ins is going to be asked about their sins. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, the criminals are going to be recognized by their signs which have they on their faces. Now, in another verse we have, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ, stop them, they are going to be questioned. So, you think that there is a contradiction here, but these actually allude to different stages of that day. We have different types of tribulations, different types of accounting by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some of them there is no question, in some of them there is some question. Now here, Right from here to the end of these verses which talk about Jahannam, it talks about the people who are separated from Mu'minun and what happens to them after that. These verses that does not apply to those stages of the Day of Judgment in which still Mu'minun and Kafirun are mixed. I say this because there is one verse here which we talk inshallah about it later on. Al-Yawma Nakhtumu Ala Afwahim Wa Tukallimuna Aydihim. On that day we would seal their on their mouths and their hands and feet would talk to us. Well, this is never going to happen for a mu'min. Never. I mean, it's not the dignity of the mu'min is not as such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would seal their mouth and let their different organs to bear witness against them. So these all come after that separation has happened, and now the separation has happened, the mu'minun are completely, even those who have one little iman in their heart, they are separated. Now Allah wants to talk to these servants, to these people whom He have created. Alam a'had إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Now you might think, why Allah is talking to these people? This is very interesting. I mean, these are the people who never listened to words of Allah, who never believed in Him. Of course, when they go there, everyone would believe in Him. Everyone would know that He is the Lord, He is the Rabb. But why Allah is wasting time? Of course, Allah never waste time, because there is no time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to speak, in our language, why is He wasting His time talking to these people? What's the use of talking to these people anymore after they want to be taken to Jahannam? Well, it would tell us something, and that is, this might somehow arouse something in them. And that might help them when they go to Jahannam. They would certainly go to Jahannam. But that might help them to come out of it sooner, probably. This is why still Allah speaks to them. Well, of course, not directly, with some mediation. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Did I not advise you? Did I not charge you, O children of Adam, that you should not serve the shaitan, you should not worship shaitan? Surely he is your open enemy, and you should worship me. This is the right path. Now, here Allah says, I have made an ahd to you. Now, ahd usually means a covenant, a pledge. But if we take it as that, we can say we never remembered such a pledge. We never remembered that we gave you a pledge as such, that we should worship you. That's why usually the exegetes have taken this act to be to mean command, order. Did I not command you? Or did I not advise you to be a wasiyah? Wasiyah is advice, order, and command is amr. So they say alam amurukum or alam أوصاكم وصيتكم. Did I not advise you? Did I not command you? Of course, we can talk about the other meaning as well, and that's pledge. And that would take us to a different area, which is Alam al-Dhar, of which the exegetes have talked in detail. Now, which one we have to take would become clear after we have talked about Alam al-Dhar. And this is a very, very vast area. Inshallah, next week I will talk about Alam al-Dhar in details and what really it means. But let's put that aside and take the meaning of, did I not order you? Did I not command you? Or did I not advise you? O children of Adam, that you should not worship Shaitan. When did Allah advise us? When did He order us? Well, in His books, by His messengers. He sent messengers, He told us, Ya Bani Adam, La yaftanannakum shaytan, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. O children of Adam. Now, here, why Allah says, Ya Bani Adam, and doesn't say, Ya ayyuhal insan, or whatever. Because we know that shaitan did that mischief with our parents, with our father Adam, alayhi salam. So he says, after that event happened to your father, did I not command you, order you, that you should not worship shaitan? Now, who worships shaitan? Allah ta'abudu shaitan. None of us would worship shaitan. Even the kuffar do not worship shaitan. They do not believe in shaitan at all, as they do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what's the meaning of worshiping shaitan? It means listening to his whispers. Listening to what he says. And we have a very interesting hadith in I'tiqadat of As-Saduq, rahmatullah alayh, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, saying, Man asgha ila naqidin faqad abada. Whoever listens, not just hearing, listens and follows a speaker. In fact, they have worshipped them. Because worship, what's the meaning of worship? It means to obey. When we say we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, it might have several meanings. How do we worship Him? Either we obey Him, or we remember Him, or we thank Him. Okay, we give Him thanks. This is the meaning of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, one of the main pillars of worship is obedience. If we do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certainly we are not worshipping Him. So here it says, whoever listens and follows the speaker has actually worshipped them. فَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ عَنِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ اللَّهِ. If that speaker speaks the word of God, speaks what Allah speaks of, they have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they have not worshipped that person, they have worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he speaks what Allah wants to say. وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ عَنْ إِبْلِيسِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ إِبْلِيسِ. And if that speaker speaks of Iblis, on behalf of Iblis, what Iblis wants, then of course they have worshipped Iblis. So this is the meaning of worship which comes in this verse. Allah ta'budu shaitan. You should not worship shaitan. It means that you should not obey, you should not listen to his whispers that he makes in your heart. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. He is a clear, a manifest, open enemy for you. How open enemy? Of course, it's not clear for all of us. Shaitan himself is not clear for all of us. And his enmity, well, more unclear for us than he himself. So why Allah says he's adawun mubin, a clear enemy? Now, clear because Allah has made it clear for us in all books that he has revealed to us, that this is an open enemy. An open enemy because, of course, our parents saw him and he openly showed his animosity and enmity towards them. Therefore, he is a very, very clear, outspoken, and he was outspoken because he said, فَبِعَزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I swear by your might that I will mislead all of them. So, it's not something that he keeps in his heart. It's not something that he keeps with himself. It is something that he has declared, that he has said, and Allah has actually conveyed, transferred that message to us, that he has said such a thing about you. It's not, because somehow, sometimes we are enemy to someone, but we never reveal it. We have something in our heart, and we do things without those people know that we are their enemy. But shaitan has made it quite clear. Very, very honest, of course, right from the beginning, that I am going to deceive all of them. And this is, of course, a very clear enemy. وَعَنِ أَبُدُونِ. And obey me. So this is, of course, as we compare it to لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ, this worship is obedience, certainly. And you have to obey me. This is the right path. Now, if we take ahd to be order or advice, then we can follow the verses in this vein, that did I not advise you, did I not command you in my books, by my messenger, I sent lots of messengers, many messengers, they all told you what I want, what I advise you, that you should not obey shaitan, and he is an open enemy to you, and you should obey me, and this is the right path which would take you to destination. Now, how if we take Ahd to be a pledge? Did I not take a pledge, a covenant from you, that you should not worship Shaitan? Now, when was this pledge? If we take this to mean pledge, as I said, most exegetes have not taken this to mean pledge. Now, if we take this to be pledge, when was this pledge taken from us? When we do not remember having given any pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you remember? I do not remember I have given any pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should worship him and not worship Shaitan. So, they say, those exegetes who take this to mean the pledge, they say, okay, this refers to Alam al-Dhar. And Alam al-Dhar means, before we come to this world, our seeds were taken from the back of Adam alayhi salam. And we came out to a world, not this world, of course, to a world, to a previous world, before, prior to this world. And then we became intelligent beings, intelligent seeds, so to speak. And with our intelligence, Allah questioned us. He told us, do you give me a pledge that I am your Lord and you are going to obey me? And we gave that pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we turned back, we were taken back to the back of Adam alayhi salam, and then the process of creation continued in its natural way. Then they say that there is a verse in the Quran which refers to this meaning and to this world, to that word, to Alam al-Dhar. And that is what is in Surah A'raf, verse I think 172 something. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. And when the meaning is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Bani Adam, the children of Adam, from their backs, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ. Sorry. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from Bani Adam their children from their backs. Now listen to the meaning of the verse carefully, because it does not comply at all. It does not go at all with that meaning which is mentioned in those riwayat and in those areas which talk about Alam al-Dhar. Now, you remember Alam al-Dhar was when Allah took our seeds from the back of Adam and talked to us. Now, the verse says, when Allah took from the back of Bani Adam, their children, not from back of Adam, from back of Bani Adam. Let me bring the verse so that I don't make a mistake. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ, sorry, not أَخَذَ, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ. This is verse 173. ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. When your Lord brought forth from the children of Adam, from their backs, not from Adam, from the children of Adam, their descendants, and made them bear witness against their own souls. Am I not your Lord? They said, yes, we bear witness, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, surely we're heedless of this. It means if Allah would not have done this, you could say on the day of judgment that we couldn't know, we had no way to realize. By this action, Allah has taken any excuse from us, so we cannot bring this excuse. But it doesn't go with the idea of Alam al-Dhar. It says from Bani Adam we took their children, not from Adam alayhi salam. And Bani Adam, they go up to the end of this life, end of this world, up to the day of resurrection. So what happens is, the verse tells us that the children of every child of Adam alayhi salam were taken from their backs. And this means before they were born, isn't it? So it does not refer to an alam prior to this alam. which is called Alam al-Dhar. But while we have some riwayat which refers to that, and what is the meaning of this? I mean, even we do not remember such a thing. When we in back of our father, for example. Of course, my father is one of Banu Adam, your father is one of Banu Adam, and apparently we are taken from their backs. Or when we were in the back of our fathers, then a pledge was taken from us. أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمْ مِنْ ذُهُورَ مِنْ ذُهُورَ. Or, not a pledge. Here, it does not talk of a pledge. It talks of a witness, that we bore witness to something. Okay, so it's completely different from pledge. We bore witness, we witnessed something, actually. We witnessed something in our own souls. أَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسَهِمْ. We witnessed something in our own souls. Not that we went to some other world, we witnessed things there, just in our own soul. So these talks that sometimes we hear that, for example, when we see each other, we know each other, this is because of the familiarity that we had in Alam al-Dhar, these should be taken with some care, because Alam al-Dhar, if this is something which is mentioned in the Quran, this is a different thing. If we rely for Alam al-Dhar, which is mentioned in, as being a alam prior to this alam, world prior to this world, and we rely on the riwayat, then we have to see what's the meaning of that riwayat and whether they are reliable at all or not. Why there's no mention of that alam in the Quran? Because the Quran talks about a prior alam to this alam, and that's when we were in the wombs of our mothers, then talks about this world, then talks about a world after this world. If that is so important, why Quran does not speak of that world, alam of that? So, this is what we have to explore, inshallah, next week, and see what's the meaning of this pledge, if we go according to those exegetes who say this is a pledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alam ahad alaykum. Inshallah, we explore this next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi ta'ala.
Thank you, Sheikh. Now we've got 15-20 minutes for question and answer. Can I can pass the mic to the speaker here? 4, 5, 6. These mics are well. Sisters, would you like to start with? I know Sheikh has actually opened up a very interesting subject towards the end.
So yeah, I think you leave the questions about Alam al-Dhar for next week. Because inshallah, next week we'll discuss it in full details.
Yeah. Okay, sisters or brothers, or brothers. Salaamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
You talked about the concept of tribulation on the day of judgment, you know, the period of waiting from the time till the end of the period where people will say that. And then you talked about Hayat al-Tayyiba, right? Hayat al-Tayyiba, they describe the mu'mineen, which are those that are in this world that are separated from the kuffar, the one that reached a very high status. Does that mean, and then you mentioned the question of tribulation, that Allah brings down tribulation so that He can separate the mu'mineen from the kuffar. Does that mean, two things that come to my mind. One is that, is the sending down of tribulation in this world for the mu'minin, by Allah, a sign of mercy, as it were, so that they can increase their faith and reach a higher stage, A. And will that tribulation, if it is in this world, help them on the day of judgment? I.e., if you are through a greater tribulation here, will that equip you better at that time when you're talking about on the day of judgment?
Well, it depends on how you take those tribulations. I mean, if those tribulations really bring out the faith from your heart. If your heart flourishes faith, so to speak, through that tribulation, then certainly you will be at ease in the other world. Otherwise, the whole point of tribulations, I mean, I don't know whether we can say this is out of mercy or anything, because whatever God does is out of mercy. But it's a procedure. It's a procedure that should happen. This is how Allah has created us, and we have to somehow show the faith. This faith should blossom, should flourish, should bring foliage in our hearts, so that it would help us in the other world. And therefore, yes, these tribulations bring us to those high stages. Then in the other world, we are completely free. In one thing I forgot to mention about that hadith, which At a final point, the mu'min and kafir, when they are together, they say, okay, just finish, judge between us, even if you want to send us to Jahannam. Then there is another hadith that Allah would manifest Himself. Manifest Himself, not of course that people can see Him. The manifestation of Allah is through heart. And heart cannot see but through faith. If there is no faith, there is no seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning of man kana fi hadhihi a'ma fahuwa fil akhirati a'ma. Whoever in this world is blind, in the other world is blind. So, those who have that aspect of faith, they are absorbed to that manifestation, so to speak. And that speck of faith would flourish at that very, very final moment. And then they forget about everything else. And this is when they are taken out of that tribulation. In this world as well, it's the same thing. I mean, if tribulations come, and through them your faith flourishes and is absorbed completely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course you are not going to have all these things on the other day. Yeah.
Can I just... the reason I'm asking is because the concept of tribulation, the way we understand it in this world, because people say that when people understand, maybe mistakenly, that when you are put to tribulation in this world, to sickness or whatever it may be, different forms, people think somehow that this is one answer is that it is because you have committed sins and Allah is punishing you. Maybe that is true. But also that this is somehow Allah, that you see other people who don't have that. So you feel a sense of kind of deprivation. That means you are being put through something that other people are put through. So this idea wrong then? And maybe it is not something. Maybe this whole concept should be re-examined as to what exactly it means when you are tried by Allah in this world.
Well, we cannot ascertain that what is the real cause of tribulation. It might be punishment. It might be that testing. It might be mercy. It might be a test before Allah wants to take you to a higher degree. So we really don't know. But those people who are separated in this world from others, they do not see anything hard in those tribulations. Because everything is true. I mean, what is tribulation? Allah might either take our wealth, well, that's just peanuts for them. It's nothing that they should care about. Or might take a dear one. There's no dear one more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them. And they know that anyone taken by Allah is gone to a better place. And so, I mean, tribulations could be seen differently by different people. Therefore, sometimes tribulations might come and they might affect everyone. But people might take them differently. And those who are very much attached to this world are those who suffer most. And those who are more detached or completely detached from this world, they are those who do not suffer at all, because there is no belongings to this world, there is no attachment to this world. That's why you think that it's suffering and tribulation. And it is tribulation, because then it shows again that they have no attachment, no belonging to this world.
Yes, sister.
Sheikh Bahabur, if you don't mind, to repeat the hadith of Ja'far Sadiq. And according to one of the tafsir of Ayatollah Jawad Amali, mentioned in a day of judgment, people, the worst punishment is they can't even find the way to go to Jahannam. Is that come to this category of your speech?
Which hadith should I repeat?
Ja'far Sadiq, wa in kana natiban ala Allah wa natiban ala.
This is from Al-Tafarrar of Saduq. The hadith says, you want me the Arabic version of it? Mention the Arabic mention? Or man asgha with sad and ghain, man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadah.
Sorry, slowly, but I know it will take a time.
Man asgha, isgha means to listen and follow. Man asgha ila natiqin faqad abadah. Fa in kana natiqu an Allah faqad abada Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَ النَّاطِقُ عَنْ إِبْلِيسِ فَقَدْ عَبَدَ إِبْلِيسِ Now, the other thing you mentioned, yes, probably. I mean, they cannot find, because they are not led to reach that final stage until all these things come true. And, of course, the mu'minun cannot find their way of Jannah immediately as well. Of course, some of them, they go very rapidly, but some of them they cannot find and they cannot go until very, very difficult tribulations come to them. We have another very interesting hadith. I don't remember this hadith, whether I saw it in Amali of Saduq or in Iqabul Amal, in one of his books. It's a very, very long hadith, but it's very, very interesting hadith. It says, when the day of judgment comes and mu'minun and kafirun, of course, are not separated yet, but they want to pass one phase to another phase. But there are many, many crimes they have perpetrated against each other. There are actually rights they have against each other. And those who have rights would not forgive those who have not committed something against them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to clear each other and they don't. Well, for example, if you have done something wrong to someone, unless they clear you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't do anything for you. Wouldn't do anything. You have to be punished for that. Now, there is a stage on the Day of Judgment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests himself. And these manifestations are very, very important, because of course in that 50,000 years you are not going to get these manifestations very frequently. Maybe only a few times those manifestations come for some purpose, for some reason. He manifests himself and he says, who is prepared to forgive those who have done something against them, so that they themselves and those who committed them would pass this phase and go through. Well, some people who are very forgiving in this world, who have an open heart, they say, yes, we forgive. Whatever they have done, we forgive. And we even had forgiven before, for example, in this life. And those and the other people who have committed something, they pass. But some people say, no, we want our rights. We want our right. We want to receive what we deserve, because these people have done something against us. And Allah says, okay, wait. And he disappears. And it takes several years. Again, they stand in that place. And some of them say, oh Allah, come, we want to forgive, please. Where are you? We want to forgive. And pass this phase. There's no Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. He doesn't come. And this continues until they really, from the bottom of their heart, they want to say, okay, we release them, we clear them completely. And then Allah manifests again and says, who wants to forgive? And passes this phase. And many, many people would forgive, and those who are forgiven, they all pass that phase and go through and go to the next phase. But some people say, no, although, of course, it's difficult, but we really, really want our deal. And Allah says, okay, wait. And he disappears again. And it takes another several years, and they say no. Some of them say, we want to forgive, we want to forgive. And for the third time, when he manifests himself, and some people would forgive, some people would not. Those who would forgive, of course, go with the others, and those others would stay there for a tribulation. And then they can pass that phase. Of course, this is out of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He really wants us to clear each other so that we do not suffer in the phases which would follow. But at the end, what happens is that we cannot go anywhere, we cannot move anywhere, unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us, unless the angels there guide us. And of course we have the big guide there, the Prophet, peace be on him, and A'imma, who are ready there to guide us towards Jannah towards the place where, of course, the final tribulation should take place and we get separated from the kuffar, inshallah.
Brothers, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
You said that in Yom al-Fasl, it will be so hard for us to bear the had stated that we'll be asking Allah to send us to hell if it meant to discontinue, you know, the tribulation on that day. But for what reason is it going to be so difficult? I mean, what is it that Allah is keeping us on that day for such a long time? For us to get rid of what aspect of ourselves here that we committed?
We have to be delivered out of our bad habits. You remember when we talked about Jannah, I said Jannah is a place in which you cannot have any bad habits. You have to be delivered out of those bad habits. And all these tribulations is to deliver us out of bad habits. I mean, even in this world you will see someone does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. But suddenly you will see 3-4 tribulations come in such harsh and severe way that they start to ponder and think and they go back. See, their heart, the belief is in the heart of every person. Of course, this we'll talk about Alamul Dar next week inshallah, and we'll say there is an understanding, a realization in the heart of everyone. But we have to deliver it. We have to show it, to flourish it. And it would not flourish for some people. For some people, of course, it's different. But for some, it would not flourish until hard times come. And the soul is really, really put in a situation that they reflect in their real heart that what they know and what they do not know. And then, of course, if this does not happen in this world, it should happen in the other world. And if it does not happen there, then we have to go to Jahannam. And it might happen in Jahannam for some, and it might not happen until the end.
Is this period of waiting anything to do with our hisab, how much we'll actually, you know, like we told in the hadith that we'll be even asked for hisab for our halal?
Yeah.
So if
you have not committed anything against anyone, okay, so you are better off because you don't wait for anyone to forgive you. But still you wait to forgive others. Okay, but the control is in your hand. For those who have committed something wrong, the control is in others' hands. Okay, and they will not forgive at all. But for someone who has not committed anything wrong, they have the control whether to forgive others or not to forgive. And if we forgive in this world, then we are not going to stand in that position, in that mawqif at all. Because we have no one to forgive and we have no one to forgive us. So why should we stand at that position at all? So we pass it without being there. Yeah. Staying there.
That's very interesting. If you forgive everybody here.
Yeah, you forgive everyone here and inshallah you will be.
Sisters, it's your chance now.
Do you mind if I ask another question? Imam Ali, he said Ayat al-Tayyibah. Is this just only once he said Qana'a, or is it further advice?
As far as I remember, he just said it's Qana'a, that Hayat al-Tayyibah is Qana'a, contentment. But if we take it into its deep meaning, we would realize why Qana'a is Hayat al-Tayyibah. It's actually not being deceived by the deceptions and plays in this world. That's why Hayatul Tayyibah is translated to be Qana'ah.
Yeah.
Sorry. You mentioned that those people who forgive in this world will not go through that phase. But the prophets and the imams who had all these enemies, especially if you take for example Imam Hussein, who was killed by Yazid army, etc. I mean, surely they have not forgiven these people in this world, so are they going to have to wait in that place or
No, this is about personal grudges that we have against each other, not some enmity which is caused because of Allah Himself. Because there are two types of enmity that we might show towards people. One is because of our personal feelings. Okay, I don't like someone because he has done something wrong to me or whatever. They might be a better believer than myself, but they have done something wrong to me, I don't want to forgive them. But if someone has committed something which has violated the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the the standards of Allah, and we do cannot forgive them because of that. Of course, we are not going to be stood there, to be made to stand there. There is in du'a makarumul akhlaq, or in some other du'a, I cannot remember now exactly. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says that, make me to forgive anyone and to love everyone, and do not show enmity towards anyone, except, of course, the one whom I show enmity to them because of you. And that's different. And that's what I can never make friends with them. So, this is completely different thing. We cannot forgive Yazid as well, not Imam Hussein himself. We can, because Imam Hussein did not belong to himself only. He belonged to the Ummah. And we cannot forgive Yazid for what he did. We cannot forgive. And that's why we curse them all the time. Therefore, this is something completely different from those personal grudges that we have against each other.
Sisters? Any brother? Yeah, ma'am.
Sheikh, you mentioned a speck of iman. When you talk about that speck of iman, is it only for those who in this world call themselves Muslims, like people who are born as Muslims? They don't probably don't want to go into iman, but we see them not being very religious. Then there are those people who know about Islam, like the Orientalists, the scholars who know about Islam. Maybe they have faith in it, but because they do not want to leave their culture, their people, and they still want to live with them, enjoy the life that is allowed in their culture. But they still have, in the sense, iman in this, they know the truth of Allah and the truth of the Quran and all that. How will they to be separated? Because there's a Muslim, a born Muslim, who has got a speck of iman only, whereas there's another one who is not born a Muslim, whereas he knows about Allah and he has a lot of, in that sense, iman, but he doesn't practice.
Well, we are not talking only about Muslims. I mean, we are newcomers to this world of religion, so to speak. It's only 1400 years. While religion has existed for several thousands of years, we are talking about all those people who have shown faith to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or another, whether they were Jews, Christians, on the religion of Ibrahim or before Ibrahim. We have many, many prophets before Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we are talking about all these people. And the speck of faith, I don't know what it is really, because faith is always strengthened by Amalus Saleh. You cannot have faith without Amalus Saleh. You cannot be very, very vicious and still you say that I have faith. This is not possible. They are hand in hand. And this is why in the Quran you never see that someone who has iman only would go to Jannah. It says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَانِ, those who believe and do good deeds. And this means that the good deeds is a part and parcel of faith. They cannot be separated from each other. But sometimes some people show very strong faith and strong Amal al-Salih. Sometimes some people show very weak faith and weak Amal al-Salih. Sometimes some people have faith in their heart, but they do lots of sins. For example, they don't pray. And they know that they have to pray, but they don't pray because they are lazy. They do, they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, but they do other good things, for example. These are the people of whom we are not sure what would happen to them. And they are going to go through lots of tribulations until that faith, which is remained there still, despite all these things, it has remained there. Because it might go. It might very easily go. But there is a hadith from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who mentioned, okay, iman has different degrees. There is one iman which is just Islam. As you said, there are those who are born Muslims, they call themselves Muslim, okay? And then there is iman, there's faith. And then there's taqwa, because about faith is taqwa. Then there is yaqeen. And then he told to his followers, be careful, because you are holding, you are sticking to the lowest degree of faith. You are just Muslims. And it might very easily go out of your hands. So be careful, you hold it fast. So if iman is so weak, it is very easy for a person to lose it completely. So For those people who leave this world with that speck of iman, these tribulations are ahead. And it's regardless of them being Muslims, Christians, Jews, living now, living in the past, or whatever. We talk about reality, not about the name of a person.
Perhaps building on the last question, on a more practical level perhaps for us, the distinction that you talk about between the Mujrimun and the Mu'minun on the Day of Judgment, perhaps in this world as well, how does that sort of invite us to interact? You have on one level people who try and ideologically and socially mimic the Mujrimun, and on the other is those who try and interact with them at a level that sort of brings together their similarities, the parallels in their faith, whether it be from a previously revealed religion or those who don't overtly even proclaim a faith, but to say, look, we've got these similarities, and don't these similarities sort of lead you to the way of Islam anyway? Is there a distinction, or are we sort of being categorized with them by so doing?
No, as Amir al-Mu'mineen said, إِذَا كَانَ فِي الْخَافِرِينَ كُتِبَ مِنَ الذَّاكِرِينَ. I mean, if there is strong faith, even if we are among ignorant people, we are not going to be written as ignorant, we are going to be written. It all depends on our values and how we look at things. We might have completely different values, but interact with people. This is what we are told in the Quran, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Tell to everyone good words. I mean, it means have a good interaction, have a good social life with everyone, regardless of them being Muslims or kafirs or whatever. But still, we shouldn't get somehow daunted by their values. We have to keep our own values. This is very, very important. You see, some Muslimun, as it's mentioned in the Quran, about some Jews who, of course, the Muslims, they were not of their religion, but they were saying that idolaters are better than Muslims. Well, Muslims were worshiping God, their own God. The Jews' God, of course, because there was one God. But since they had different ethos, what they said, the Jews, they said, these idolaters are better than Muslims. وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَحْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلِيحًا. They say, these are more guided than these people. Because they had grudge. Okay. Now, some of us Muslims, when we see the type of life that exists among kuffar, the type of social welfare, the type of social communication, we would say that, well, these are better off than Muslims. You see, we forget what is the main distinction between a Muslim and a kafir. We forget the basic values. And if we do this, then we get mixed. Somehow we have mixed values. Something between kufr and iman flows in our heart. Of course, good thing is good thing. But we have to know that what is the basic value and what are the secondary values, secondary things. This is important.
We'll take the last question. Kiroz?
You know, in Du'a Kumail, Imam Ali is talking about لَجَعَلْتَنَّا رَسُولَّ بَرْضًا وَسَلَامًا, and then he continues and talks about that, you know, you would not make the fire. And then at the end of that passage, there's a quotation, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Is it referring to the same concept that you're talking about? Is it basically setting the stage, saying that we cannot be associated with that? I just wanted your...
Yes, yes, the same thing. Actually, the verse is in the same vein of the verses I mentioned, that أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا. In fact, if these two could really exist with each other, if they could be put together, you would have put them together, but it is not possible. They don't go together. If you remember when I said we have two angels, one capture the good deeds and the other capture the bad deeds. Why there are two? Why just not only one angel capture all deeds? Because these two things never go together. They cannot be captured by one angel. Because the angels should be completely different from each other so that they could capture these two different types of actions. So they cannot go with each other. And of course, this is the rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set in this world, which comes, flows with His justice, with His sense of attribute of justice. But this is how it is. It cannot be, it is not possible that mu'minun and fasiqun could live together, or they put in the same status as each other.
Thank you, Rasul.
Thank you.
Muhammad wa alihi wa sallam.